Let's give Him some glory right now. Give Him some praise. We thank You, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus' name. Oh, I feel good. Praise God. Why don't you go ahead and turn your attention to Proverbs, the 23rd chapter and the 23rd verse. Praise God. There are many times in my life, before church, during church, where there's been valleys that I've gone through. But if it wasn't for the hand of God, I wouldn't be here today. But because of the hand of God, I am here. And I'm thankful this morning that I have found God. Praise God. In Proverbs, the 23rd chapter, if you've arrived there, please say amen. Praise God. Very important. I want to make sure that everybody's attention is there. I hear a few pages turning, but praise God. The Lord is good. The Lord is so good. Amen. All right. And in Proverbs, the 23rd chapter and the 23rd verse, it says, "Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begatteth the wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice." Praise God. The text that I will be pulling from this is, "Buy the truth and sell it not." This morning I am going to preach to you, not for sale. Hallelujah. Not for sale. Why don't we go ahead and put our Bibles down, raise our hands, and get in touch with the Lord for your soul right now. God, we pray, Lord, that You'd have Your way in this service this morning. God, I've come to praise You, and I've come to magnify You. But Lord, I want to leave with enough Holy Ghost to handle this world, to fight against the devil, Lord, but to come forth victorious, God, that You would be able to rejoice in me, Lord, and that the church would be glad. God, I pray, Jesus, that You bless our ears, our minds, and our hearts this morning to receive the word of the Lord that You have for us in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Give a good hand clap of praise unto the Lord this morning. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy Ghost in the house of God this morning. Oh, hallelujah. Give a good hand clap of praise to the Lord. I promise you, I'm going to flip my ears back and preach this morning. Hallelujah. Why don't you go ahead and be seated? Not for sale. Hallelujah. Why don't we all say that? Not for sale. Let that apply to your heart right now and say it again one more time. Not for sale. There was an experience that I had that I would like to share with you that helped me to understand what God had given to me. Many of you know that I do business all the way down to the southern part of Arkansas. As I was out there, there was one of the dealerships, one of my customers in Arkansas that I'd stopped, and I was waiting to talk to the owner of the company, and he was on a phone call with a very important business phone call. And while I waited, I decided I'd go ahead and journey through the parking lot and take a look at some of the newer vehicles and some of the beauty that you could behold. And you know, there are times that if you've gone to look for a car, there's certain cars you'll see that you just look at it, and man, if I could just drive that, oh, I would feel like I'm in heaven. Boy, if I could be behind the wheel of that. You look, and I've seen some cars, Brother Dustin, I would love to drive away from the dealership with that car and have my name on the title and be the owner of that vehicle. And there were some trucks out there that were just beautiful. Some that would sell itself, that would say, you know, with this car, you'd get 31 miles to the gallon. Some would sell itself saying that this car has low miles, or this one has dependability. This one has air. This one has a stereo. This one has a warranty for so long. One way or another, they will try to sell their vehicles by tempting you to buy it upon your desires for what you're looking for. And as I would look at each and every one of these trucks and these new cars, and oh, they've come out with some beautiful Chevy pickup trucks that I would love to have. And there were some cars that I could just imagine taking my family to the park. And there were some beautiful vehicles. I'm telling you, it would be breathtaking, some of the sights that I've seen. And I thought, you know what? As beautiful as these vehicles are, as beautiful as these trucks are, I wonder what the showroom floor has to offer. So I left the parking lot and I walked into the showroom and there was a Corvette. And I tell you, I've never been a man that was ever interested in Corvettes. Corvettes looked nice, but it was never something that I liked. But when I saw this one, as of late, I've been starting to like the Corvettes. And this one in particular, I thought, man, would I love to get behind the wheel of this one and push the pedal to the metal and see how fast this one would go. I've never seen speeds of over 110 miles an hour. I wonder what that would look like. But the beauty and the craftsmanship of that beautiful Corvette was eye-capturing. It was appealing to the eye. It was something to be desired, something that there wouldn't be very many people who would say, I wouldn't want to possess or own this vehicle. It was a vehicle that was on purpose put on the showroom floor. Its beauty was magnificent. The shine, you could tell they had just washed it and have kept it in the showroom floor and have polished it day after day or wiped it down day after day so that it would show its beauty, that it would show the great craftsmanship and the time that they put in such a vehicle. But that's not the one that caught my eye the most. As I walked past that car, there I beheld one of the most beautiful sights I'd ever seen at a dealership. A car that wouldn't belong at a new car dealership. As I walked over to it, I began to look it over and think, man, whoever owned this car before had a really good car, had a great time driving around in this vehicle. Surely they had some great memories in a car like this. What I had beheld at that time was a 1957 Chevrolet in the best condition I had ever seen a 57 Chevy. This car was beautiful. It shined. It was in mint condition. You couldn't find a dent. You couldn't find a scratch. The interior was impeccable. It was in great condition. And all of a sudden, a salesman come by, not too sure why I was there. He stopped by and looked at me and said, sir, can I help you? I said, no, I'm waiting for so-and-so. But I do have a question. I'm looking at this 57 Chevrolet, and man, it is just a fantastic sight. Yes, sir? Yeah, it's a one of a kind. I said, sir, could you tell me how much this vehicle would sell for, or how much is this car? And he smiled and looked back at the car and looked back at me and shook his head. He said, no, sir, this one's not for sale. This one is owned by the owner himself. This is a car that was passed down from generation to generation. This is a car that the owner of the company has had great memories in. A car that he would definitely not let go of. A car that he would show, but he would never sell. No, sir, he would never let it go. I said, is there not a value on this car? This is not something he would sell, no matter what the cost was, if he could get the right kind of offer. No, sir, it has sentimental value. This car could never have a price tag. He told me about their journeys. There was times that the owner would go down to the park or go down, been taken to school or down to the soda shop with grandpa. There was memories that he had in this car of going to the lake and going fishing. There were times that he had in this vehicle where he was with his family and they'd go to church on Sunday. There was times that he would be with his wife and go to the dance. There was times that he would take the car for a joyride, where it was just him and the car, and go for a long, long ride. And as I began to think about the 1957 Chevy, I couldn't help but think of this Holy Ghost and this relationship that I have with God. We've been some places. I'm going to tell you now, we've been in the valley together. Yeah, surely they've gone through the valleys and into the mountaintops in that 1957 Chevrolet. But I've been to the valley and I've had some hard times. But the Lord was with me. I was there in the valley with the Lord. There were times I've ridden up to the mountaintop and I was able to see the beauty with my Lord. Oh, hallelujah. I can tell you there are times with this Holy Ghost that I've been through the rugged terrain. But oh, I've always been with the Lord. Hallelujah. I've been alone with the Lord on long, long trips. There's times I've shut myself in my prayer closet and got alone with the Master where there's nobody else, just me and the Master. Oh, we've been to church on Sunday. We've been to the car wash together, so to speak. And we have been to the dances together. I'm going to tell you now, I'm glad I've been with the Lord. And there is one thing I can tell you. It is not for sale. This relationship I have with the Lord, you can't put a price tag on what God has done for this man. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. Praise the Lord for what He's done inside of you. No, it's not a 1957 Chevrolet, but it's a relationship you can't put a price tag on. Go ahead and be seated. There's no way that I could sell this Holy Ghost that I've got inside of me. The Bible says to buy the truth and sell it not. Hallelujah. You can read in Matthew the 13th chapter in the 45th verse, reading on, or 44th verse through the 46th verse. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof he goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant seeking godly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Can I tell you, I've lived as a sinner before. I've lived in the world before, where the devil would try to offer everything under the sun. Yes, I've been involved in bad things, drugs and whatever you want to call it. But there was nothing that ever gave me the joy that I found when I walked into an apostolic church. And I said, yeah, the world has some things to offer, but it don't have the great value that it has in the house of God. Oh, there was never a drug that could satisfy me. But when I found a pearl of great price, there was nothing that the world had to compare to such a glory. Oh, I'm not a sinner anymore, but I'm a saint of God. And you can't sell that. You can't sell that. You can't buy that from anybody. There's no way that you could put a price tag on all the things that would give you pleasure in this world. They, my friend, have a price tag. You can purchase those things with money, but what God has given to me, there's no way that you can hand me any silver or gold. I'm telling you something right now. If you walk through this world and there's something that's appealing to the eye, it's only the devil trying to say, hey, let me show you what you can have if you walk this way. But you know what the Lord will say? If you keep walking this way, in my Father's house, there's many mansions. And when I go away to prepare a place that one day you'll be with me also, that's where I plan to find my riches. This world can't offer to me what God has given to me. I'm not for sale. Oh, the devil walks around to and fro. But let me read you in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. I can tell you, when I walked into the house of God and I got this Holy Ghost, every time I walk out in the out the doors, everything out there looks old. It looks run down. It looks rusty. It looks like junk. Because in the house of God, there's nothing but polished beauty that you can possess in the Spirit of God. There is nothing greater than the Holy Ghost. But the devil wants to walk around and convince somebody this morning that you could find something in the world that would satisfy your soul. He's a liar. I said the devil is a liar. The truth is not in him. And the Bible says to buy the truth and sell it not. I'm not going to be a sellout to the devil. There's no way he could give me the joy I found in the house of God. Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Yeah, to you, to the devil, there is no greater eye appeal than that of an apostolic. You have something he wants to strip away this morning. Oh, somebody hear me. It's the beauty of your holiness. Oh, he'll want to lie to you and say you can go down to this house of God and everything will be all right because you can dress the way you want to. Oh, he wants to take away your walk with God. He wants to take away your joy. Your life without sin, your ability to pray, your worship, your shout, your dance. The devil would like to take that away this morning, but somebody's got to take a stand and tell the devil, this is not for sale. Come on, somebody. Talk to God right now and let Him know that you're sold out on what He's given you. In Isaiah, the 59th chapter, you can be seated. The 19th verse, it says, "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and His glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." Let me tell you just a little bit about my Jesus. There's some that have heard the story or heard it said before that when Jesus died on the cross, He had you on His mind. And some of us are, "Oh, that's a great story to tell." Well, let me tell you something. I believe that's truth. I've bought that. That when He was on the cross thousands of years ago, that I was on His mind with a multitude of people who would buy the truth and sell it not. That when He was whipped and when He was beaten, that He was thinking about me and thinking about my soul. When they whipped Him and put the stripes on His back, that's when I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, when I pray and I'm sick in my body, He'll touch me. Because He says, "By my stripes are you healed." I bought the truth and I won't sell that away. I'm going to tell you now, I know when He gave up the ghost, when He took His last breath, and when He died by the chair, it was for me. There was no doubt in my mind that it was for you, and that is for every man or woman in this building this morning. Can somebody take a stand and tell the devil, "Hey, if He did that for me, there's no way I'm going to settle for something you could offer me." Getting back to the scripture, it says, "Where the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." You know what a standard is? The Bible, if you read in the commentary, the definitions of the word standard used there, Brother Chad, it says a banner. That's what the standard is. So in other words, what that's saying is, as the devil's looking around and checking out all these new vehicles and all these classy cars and something that looks appealing to him, all of a sudden when he spots an apostolic and it's breathtaking. It's a sight that he can't stand. And he wants to know, how much is this saint of God? He's going to want to test drive you. He's going to want to put you through the rough terrain. He's going to want to take you in the valley. But that's when God stands up and puts the banner out and says, this one's not for sale, Satan. Leave this one alone. Oh, come on, somebody. Can you thank God for what He's given you this morning? Oh, Hollywood paints a pretty picture of all the stars and the people that have lived their life of fame. Oh, hallelujah, I'm coming to a close. But when they live their life of fame, Hollywood wants to paint a pretty picture that they get paid quite a bit of money and they live the lifestyles of the rich and famous and they have these great things, possession the common man doesn't have. Well, let me tell you something. I've read so many times of where there were TV or movie stars that have passed away, upset and depressed, visiting counselors. There are some that have committed suicide. There's some right now that are still going through rehab. You know why? Because all of their riches and all of their fame hasn't given them the joy they've been looking for. But can I tell you something? I found mine and I didn't need any money. All I had to do was come and give myself to God. And hallelujah! You can't put a price tag on that. You can't put a price tag on that. Oh, devil, I am not for sale. Oh, come on, somebody, can you shout it with me? I am not for sale. Oh, give a good hand, grab a praise unto the Lord. Give a good hand, grab a praise unto the Lord. Oh, they say there's true joy in riches. They lied. They say there's true joy. Go ahead and be seated. They say there's true joy in living the lifestyle of the rich and famous. No. No, there's joy in the house of God. It says in John chapter 14 and verse 6, it says where Jesus is saying, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." If you live as a sinner in the world, you won't find your way, but that's when they call you lost. if you live as a sinner. They tell you that you can have the great things of that life and it would satisfy your soul. That's a lie. Jesus said He's the truth. And then it says, and the life. You can't live forever as a sinner, but there is a second death. But when I live for Jesus, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt where I'm going. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt the life I'm going to have. I'll have a place where I can walk on streets of gold. Oh, I'm talking about gold, pure gold where it's transparent. You hear me? I'm going to walk next to that crystal sea. I'm going to walk through those pearly gates. I'm going to be able to see the walls of jasper. Because I'm not going to sell out to this world. I'm not going to sell out to the devil. And I want to see every man and every woman under the sound of my voice in this building tonight to be there with me. I want to be able to shout right next to you and dance before the Lord and give Him the glory that He deserves for all the times in my life I've gone through the rugged terrain. But He's picked me back up and said, hey, let's keep on going. The times when my babies are sick and I pray for them and God heals them. That is something the devil can't take away from me. They tell you, oh, all you got to do is believe and you're saved. But Jesus said, Nicodemus, unless you are born again of the water and of the Spirit, you can't enter. He said, you can't even see the kingdom of God. I'm born again. I'm born again. I've been to the water. I've been baptized in Jesus' name. I've gotten the Holy Ghost and spoken tongues as the Lord gave the utterance. I have been to the house of God where my life that I'm living is an overcoming life. It says in Acts the 2nd chapter and the 38th verse, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You know what I really like about that scripture? Is the one that follows it. For this promise is unto you. And so, oh, hallelujah. Oh, I'm telling you, if you come to the house of God and you don't have the joy that I got, you can have it right now. Because God is still handing it out. He said it's a promise unto you and to your children and to all them that are far off. I don't know about you, but this world has never given me joy. I'm telling you right now, what I've got, I wouldn't sell. Oh, hallelujah. Can we stand all over the building? Brother Tyson, would you do me a favor and read that scripture for me? If you want to follow along, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. Brother, I am coming to a close. Hallelujah. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, Brother Joe? Read. Which is in you. Which is in you. Start from there again. And not of your own. This is something that was given to you. Read on. You're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Which are God's. Can I tell you something this morning? When He got up on that cross, He was buying something that the devil could never steal away. In other words, the devil's going to tell you he can take you to some places and give you some joy. But can I tell you, he can't offer you the things God can. The devil thinks he can take you out of the hand of God. The only way you can do it is to become a sellout to the devil. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm sold out to God. I said I'm sold out to God. I am not for sale. Oh, come on, somebody. I am not for sale. Have you said it with conviction yet? I am not for sale. Come on, somebody. Give the Lord a good hand clap of praise in the house of God this morning.
Well, many times we think we've got to have a somber tone and the right music to have an altar call. But if there's somebody in this place that wants to pray, somebody that, hey, you heard it. You heard the plan of salvation this morning and you know what it's going to take. If anybody in this place wants to come out and pray, you can. But let me tell you one thing. If Brother James would have been able to purchase that vehicle, he'd have had some joy out of it. But you know, it's not for sale. My Holy Ghost is not for sale. That car was not for sale. So, you know, this could inspire Brother James to go buy his own car that may be a little rusty, that may be a little nasty, that may not look as pristine as we would like it to look, and just put some elbow grease into it, and just put some love and put some care into it. You know, we've got a relationship with God. Maybe you had one before. You know, and I've allowed it. I'll tell you what, that car that was on the showroom, it may be a 1957, but that wasn't the... It hasn't been cleaned once. It hasn't been taken care of just one or two times. But every week, that thing's been polished. Every week, that thing's been cleaned. Every week, that thing's been made sure it's been taken care of. We got to maintain our relationship with God. If we don't, it's not going to look the way it used to. So, hey, you've had one in the past. I'm talking to everyone in this place. We've got a relationship with God. Every single one of us does. And, oh, I've let it get too tarnished. I've let it get too bad. I've even sold it. Who's heard the stories of a man who bought a car brand new and then sold it and years later hunted that man down that he sold it to and said, "Can I buy that car back? I don't care what it costs. I don't care how much you want for it. There's too many memories involved with that car. There's too many memories just wrapped up in what it is. It's more than just a car, but it's a part of me. Can I buy it back?" They bought it back, even though it may have had just cracked out nasty tires, may have had rust all over the place, been sitting out in the sun forever, and the paint was faded and cracked. So, you know what? I remember what that thing used to look like. I remember what it felt like whenever I sat behind that wheel and it smelled brand new. I remember I was only a 17-year-old kid when I bought it, but I remember what it was. Today, my brother has had the Holy Ghost for 21 years. Wednesday, I will have had the Holy Ghost for 21 years. That's a long time. And I hate to admit it, but sometimes I've let some tarnish get on my car. I've let some things happen to it. My relationship with God that I've had to buff out. And I've had to rub. And you know what? But I appreciate it even more because I know what I've had to put into it. So Brother James would go buy a car and put months and months, maybe even years of work into it, and spit shine it and make it look exactly like the one that was on the showroom floor, it means so much more to you because you had to put some work into it. If you're in a spot right now that you just don't think your relationship with God is worth even trying to fix, you're wrong. You're in a spot that God wants you to be because you're in a spot where He can make you in His image. He can mold you just like that song said this morning. Over and over, He molds me and makes me. But He said He never throws the clay away. Oh, we fall, we falter, we crack, we do whatever. I mean, it's life. We're human. The Bible says, oh, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is so weak. Oh, our flesh wants to, I mean, our spirit wants to pray every day. Our spirit wants to fast a couple times a week. Our spirit wants to just work for God. But this flesh is weak. This flesh doesn't allow us to do it the way we want it to be. Tell you what, God's moving in this place, and God's here. I didn't mean to bring it down, but I just felt in the Holy Ghost that if anybody, and I don't care, we don't have to have the exact right moment, the right music, but if anybody, I'm talking about anybody in this place, wants to make sure that they can spit shine their car up a little bit more, and I say car, I'm talking about your relationship with God. If you want to just spit shine it up a little bit and make it look better than what it was, or even get it in the running position, in shape, some of them just can't even run, they're just rusted shut. But God can do it. God can do it. So why don't we all just bow our heads a little bit and just talk to God some. God, I love You and I worship You, Jesus. I'm so thankful, God, for Your voice, God, that You've given us. God, for the Word that You poured in our hearts. Lord God, it is not for sale. Oh, so many times, God, it's so easy just to slip away. So many times it's so easy, God, to just drop in the maintenance schedule, God, that we have with our relationship with You. And God, it gets tarnished, Lord. It becomes irreparable. We think, but Lord, it's not. God, You can touch. You can make it new. God, Your Word says, Lord, all things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Old things have passed away. Behold, all become new. And God, renew us in the Holy Ghost. God, lift us up and strengthen us. God, love us, Jesus. Love us, Lord. And God, we thank You, Master. God, we thank You, Lord. I praise You, Jesus. I praise You, Jesus. I praise You, Lord. thank you for your word. God, thank you for your word. God, it is not for sale. Not for sale, Lord Jesus. God, let me put value on my relationship with you. God, let me put value on my life. Oh, God. Oh, but it's going to cost me. It's going to be some blood. There's going to be some sweat and tears involved. But it's going to cost me. Oh, but God, I've got to be willing to do it, Lord. There's some things I need to put to the side. Oh, some meals, Lord Jesus. Some standards, God, that we uphold. God, help me, Master, to draw closer to you. Whatever the cost, God, I must be saved. Whatever it takes, God, I've got to make it. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, we love you, God. We thank you for meeting us in this house. Well, God's definitely been in this place with us this morning. He's good to us. There's not a time we walk in here that I don't walk out differently than I walked in. There's not a time. God is faithful. See, God is obligated. He's obligated himself in His Word. You know, you hate to say it like that. It's almost like, well, God said it. You said it, God, so you've got to do it. But in a way, He has. He's obligated Himself. There's so many promises in the Bible that, you know, if we give to God, God won't give you back what you gave Him. God is required by His law that He's written to give you back more than what you've given. He's required to give back more because He has put the requirement on Himself. You know, my kids can't love me as much as I love them because they don't understand it as much as I do. They don't. But if Cougar just comes up, or Remy, and they're famous for doing it. You guys don't see it. He sits on the front pew, but I'm playing the piano and singing. And sometimes it's hard for me not to just bust out crying because my little boy is sitting up there in the front pew, and he'll blow me kisses while I'm singing. He does that. He does that every service. He probably gives me 5 or 6, 10 of them a service. It's because he loves me. And just those little tiny things that he does for me makes me want to give him the world. And if it's in my power, I'm going to do it. And that's exactly the way God is. If you just blow some kisses to God, He's going to pour out everything He has in your lap because He loves you. He loves you. And I thank Him for I thank Him. It's the relationship that we have with Him, Brother James, that is not for sale because it means too much to us. You know, that car, if you look at it as nuts and bolts, as pieces of metal, as lights, if you look at it like that, it may be worth some money as a collector's item. But to that man, it's not a collector's item. To that man, it is an integral part of his life. And if we don't look at our relationship with God as just something we just do because we've got to, I don't want to go to hell, you know, I'm just going to maintain it. It's not a collector's item. It's just not something you put on a shelf and just polish up every once in a while. But it's something that we actively got to do. Tell you what, Brother James, if I'd go buy a car like that, I wouldn't go put it in a garage. I'd put 20,000, 30,000 miles on it a year driving it back and forth to work. That's just the way I do things. I don't buy things to look at them. I buy them because I want to use them. Don't start a relationship with God and just kind of put it on the shelf and use it as a novelty for, you know, Easter. Or very few times. But use it every day. Use it every day.